I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the Psalm 23 again. We're going to read through the Psalm. And familiar again as it is, let's take time with it and consider the words again as we read them. The Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading again of his precious word to our hearts. Can we now afresh, please, in a word of prayer? Our loving and our gracious God, we draw near to thee in our Saviour's name. We thank thee for the comfort and help of thy word. We bless thee that thou art the God who is near to thy people. We thank thee that if we draw nigh to thee, then thou wilt draw nigh to us. And we pray, our God, that we might know the nearness of our God as we meet around thy word just now. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Verse 5 is my text this morning. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The 23rd Psalm, of course, is known as the Shepherd's Psalm, or sometimes as the Psalm of the Crook, meaning the shepherd's crook, not the crook that breaks into your house. But David had spent his life looking after his father's sheep, his early life anyway, and he could draw from the rich experience of being a shepherd. John McNeill was a famous evangelist in Scotland many years ago, and before he went to the Theological College in Edinburgh to train as a minister, he had been the porter at Inverkip railway station in Scotland. And he worked for the old London, Midland and Scottish Railway Company. And when he went to Theological College, he kept the badge, that the railway company badge that he had. And he often used to bring that with him. And he used to say, the LMS letters say, stand for the Lord is my shepherd. And of course, that was a very precious thought to him. And it's a very precious thought to us too, as we've gone through this psalm and began to see something of what it means that the Lord is our shepherd. Now, when we come to this verse of the psalm, some of the commentators will say that the picture is changing now. We're leaving behind the picture of the Lord and the sheep, or the shepherd and the sheep, and we're now turning to the wonderful picture of the host and the guest. And of course, that's another wonderful picture that we could take of the relationship between the Lord and his people, the host and the guest. But I don't think that the psalmist is turning away from the picture of the shepherd and the sheep here. You see, last week we thought about the shepherd leading his flock through the valley of the shadow of death. And we thought about how that there is a literal place in the land of Israel where we could say it is the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It was an extension of the Kidron Valley where it becomes very narrow. And we thought about how it was rutted and it was dark because there were high sides, 1,500 feet high on each side, and this very narrow ravine. And we thought about how the word speaks about how we can stumble, we can fall in the midst, but the Lord is with us even in the dark days. You know, there are many enemies that come against the people of God. There's the world, and there is the flesh, and the devil. The world would want us to turn away and have another, come to another flock. The devil would want us to have another shepherd. And we think of how the flesh would want us to feed on another pasture. And the world and the flesh and the devil are working together, and they are the enemies of the people of God. But I want you to see how this verse of Scripture proclaims to us and shows us that there is victory over our enemies. We can have victory. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels and principalities and powers. And we need to remember that the devil is a wily and a real foe. But I'm glad that at the end of the day, the Lord will make his people to sit down in the presence of their enemies. We'll be prepared a table in the presence of our enemies. And that's a good thing to remember in days of persecution, in days when the devil seems to be growing in strength and the world is seeking to overcome God's people with a hatred that has not been displayed for a very long time. And sometimes the devil would want us to be discouraged and to be defeated and downcast. But thank God we can be reminded today that the Lord prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And so I want us to be encouraged today as we are in this day and generation in which we live. And I think we can enter into our meeting this evening or this morning with that sense of victory of what the Lord can do for us. And I want you to see some wonderful things in the picture that is brought before us in this verse 5 of the Psalm 25. And the first thing that I want you to see here is the preparation of the shepherd. We're told that the shepherd prepares something. He prepares a table before, he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In the previous verse, we said we're coming through the valley of the shadow of death. And we said that when the shepherd led his flock through the valley, where he was going was to the new pastures. He was going to the higher summer pastures. And we're thinking about going through the valley. And the valley of the shadow of death, the literal place, leads from the pastures of David to the pastures of Abraham. And we think about the journey that has been undertaken here. Now, when we think about the high pasture lands, they are often referred to as table lands. Certainly in Spanish and in southern Spain and in the United States, part of the United States, the high pasture grounds are known as the mesas. And in Spanish, that has the meaning of tables. And it may be well that David is referring to, when he's preparing a table in the presence of his enemies, he's speaking about, still about the sheep. And he's speaking about the table lands, the high pasture lands, and he's thinking about them being prepared for the sheep. Now, when we think about it in that way, I want you to think about the shepherd preparing the table lands for the pasture of the sheep. And the first thing that he needs to do in order to prepare the pasture land, the high table land for the sheep, is to clear the land of pests. Now, he may not have been able to do this to the full extent, but he could certainly search and look around the pasture lands where he's putting his sheep, and he could look for snakes. And he would look under the rocks and round the rocks and in the places in the scrub where snakes would be. And he could look for any sign of predators that might have been there. And perhaps the most dangerous snake that the shepherd would have faced in that land was the horned viper, about 18 inches long, with a deadly poison, very dangerous to the sheep. Or the cobra also was a snake that would have been very common in that part of the country. And we think about the old serpent, the devil, and how he lingers in order to trap and in order to snare his God's people, and how dangerous he is to the sheep. But you know, the sheep cannot clear the land of the snakes. Only the Lord, only the shepherd can do that, and only the Lord can do that for us. Only the Lord can give us victory in the midst of our need. The old devil is lying in wait, and he's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, particularly in this day in which we live. But only the Lord, only the shepherd, can get rid of this wily foe. It's only the Lord that can deal with this pest that is around us. And we need to recognize, child of God, that the devil does come, and he does try to discourage. The word there, prepare, is an Old Testament word, and it's often used in a military sense. And it is a word that means fully equipped, that the land was fully equipped. It speaks in a military sense of a soldier fully equipped for the battle. And you know, if we're fully equipped for the battle, and if the pasture land is fully equipped, then thank God we can have victory. We can stand in the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ has made for us. But remember this, that only the shepherd can give us the victory. We've got to stand with him. We've got to be near him. And we've got to be walking with him if we're going to have the land prepared before us and the devil defeated. So that's one way that the shepherd will prepare the table land. He will get rid of the pests. Another thing that the shepherd will do in order to prepare the table pasture land is to get rid of the poisons. Now, in the table land and in the pasture, there were plants that would have been poisonous to the sheep. If lambs were to nibble on a few leaves of some of these plants, they would soon become paralyzed and would die. Now, I read about a shepherd who, he and his children went out into the pasture before they put the sheep in it, and they would pluck up all the poisonous plants to make sure that the lambs would not be poisoned by these plants. And I'm sure that David was thinking about that picture when he was penning these words. He was up in the summer pastures at times, peeling his eyes for any plants that would have poisoned the sheep. And the sheep would not spot the poison. The shepherd had to spot the poison. And you know the sheep will go and they'll taste anything and everything. They will nibble at anything and everything. Doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we're prone to be like that as God's people. We will nibble at anything and everything, anything. Unless we get the warning from the shepherd, unless the shepherd has prepared the way before us. And you know, there are many of God's people and they're nibbling at things that they shouldn't be nibbling at. You know, there are worldly things. Maybe the lusts of the eyes and things that we should not be involved in. And maybe you've thought, well, I'll give it a little go and I'll try it out. And dear friend, you've seen the foolishness of your way. And it has poisoned your mind and poisoned your heart. And it has drawn you away from the Savior. And the poison has got in. You know what the Lord said to Peter? He said, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. But he says, I prayed for you. And that was the shepherd preparing the way, getting rid of, he said, Satan has desired to sift you. But he says, I prayed for you. And it was the Lord's prayers that was preparing the way for Peter, for Simon Peter. And he had to listen to the warnings that the Savior was giving. Fortunately, he didn't listen to the warnings. But you know what would be good for us? If we listen to the warnings about the poisons out there, and there is so much poison out there in this world, masquerading as the things of God and as the truth of God, and it's not, and it's only leading people astray. The shepherd has to prepare and get rid of the poisons and the pests. And then he has to get rid of the predators. You think of the wolves and the wild dogs that might be among the flock and tear them. And the good shepherd will always be looking out for the predators. I read of one shepherd in America and he said that he often lost sheep to cougars. And he says while he often lost sheep to cougars, he never seen one of them. You see, the predator is wily. The predator will come in and he will come in without us knowing that he's there. Jude said about certain men crept in unawares. And we need to guard against the predators, the wily foe who creeps in among the flock. We need to make sure that we're standing for God in this day. So we know, notice the preparation of the shepherd. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see the provision of the shepherd. Because it not only says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. But then he goes on and he says, thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now one of the things that the shepherd has to guard against is the parasites and the flies. And there are usually nasal flies, for example, that lay their eggs in the nose of the sheep. And when they hatch, they burrow into the nasal passages of the sheep. And that sends the sheep wild. And the only way to make sure that they are safeguarded is to dose them or to dip them. They will have to be dosed. And of course, these things spread from one to the other. And so they all need to be dosed. And they all need to be taken. Now, in David's time, what they would do is that they would take a mixture. The shepherds would have their own mixture. It was a mixture that they smeared on the nose of the sheep. And this would try and safeguard them from the nasal flies and so on. And the aggravation then would be gone. And when the flies got in, and when they were annoying the sheep will butt one another and be aggravated with one another, and they will not grow because of the aggravation, and they needed to be anointed with oil. Now, what is the oil? Well, of course, the Holy Spirit of God is often spoken as the oil in the Bible. Anointing with oil was a symbol or picture of being anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. And isn't that significant? There are many parasites in this old world. There are many irritations. There are many things that will niggle at us as the people of God. Perhaps there's something that has annoyed you. And you need something to come and to assuage the aggravation and the irritation and the annoyance. What is it? It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, you get times when God's people are aggravated and irritated. And they become annoyed with one another. And you know, when the sheep get annoyed, they begin to butt at one another and do things like that. But when they're anointed, that safeguards all that. And what we need, of course, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to calm our hearts, to get our hearts directed to the Savior. Because the Holy Spirit of God always directs us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's perfect, and we can't be annoyed with him, because he is the great God and he is the perfect one of righteousness. The psalmist said in Psalm 45 and verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And how we need to be anointed with that oil of gladness today, that safeguards us from that irritation and that butting against one another. Another disease that was common of the sheep that needed the anointing is scab. Now, scab, of course, is a highly infectious disease, and it could get into a perfectly healthy flock, and it would spread very quickly through the whole flock. And again, they have to be dipped or they have to be dosed. And in the day, on David's day, the only remedy was they mixed olive oil with sulfur and spices. And that's what they used. And they would apply it and try and get rid of the infection that was there. And we need the oil of the Holy Spirit to get rid of the infections. You know, we live in a world where there are the infections of the world. And no matter how we do, we can't be separate from the world in the sense of that we have to be out there, we have to meet people, we have to see things, we have to be in the world in which we live, which is a wicked world, and we become infected by the things that are out there. Those things get in, they get into our minds, they get into our hearts. No matter how we do, those things will be infected by the attitudes of the world, we'll be infected by the ways of the world. And what we need is something to be applied to the infection. And again, it is the Holy Spirit of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. This old world is out there to manipulate the minds of God's people. To warp the minds of God's people. To get us thinking the way that they do. That their be all and end all is this life and the things of this life. But the child of God is something far beyond. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God, and that is our interest. And we need the Holy Spirit of God to come and direct our minds away from those things that would enter in. Then there was one more thing that the sheep need to be anointed for, and that was in the rutting season. Because at that time of the year, there would be great battles between the rams for the possession of the ewes, and they would butt each other furiously. And very often what farmers would do, shepherds would do, was that they would smear the heads of the sheep to prevent them from maiming one another, so that when they butt one another, that they'd slip off and it wouldn't be the full force, that they wouldn't be injured. And there they were, knocking one another, and they needed the anointing of the oil. And how we need the anointing of the oil to safeguard against the jealousies that the devil would send in among us, and the battles and the desires that we have, the annoyances that we have. We need the Holy Spirit to come to settle the petty squabbles that there may be, and how we need the oil of God to be applied. Thou anointest my head with oil. And how each one of us need that oil to be applied to our hearts and our lives, for the irritations, for the things that would enter in. We need the oil. But then look at the plenitude of the shepherd. We've looked at the provision of the shepherd, and we have looked at the preparation of the shepherd. But look at the plenitude of the shepherd. He says, my cup runneth over. Of course, that speaks of plenty. A cup will not run over unless it is kept under the tap. Unless there is a supply all the time, it will not run over. Or it will only run over for a while and then it will stop. If it's constantly running over, there's a constant supply. And that speaks of the superabundance of the blessings of God. Here is a picture of happiness and contentment, because the supply comes all the time. It never runs out. You know, there are many people who are trying the broken cisterns of the world. But the problem with the broken cisterns of the world is that the waters run out. It's like the hymn writer said, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters spilled. E'en as I stooped to drink, they failed. I fled and mocked me as I wheeled. You know, sometimes we trust in the mirage that is the world. But you know, the Lord Jesus, what he promised was life-giving water. And waters in abundance that would flow out of our bellies. He said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Blessed water. And those blessings that the Lord gives us are superabundant. They never come to an end. Old John Welsh of Scotland, son-in-law, I think I'm right, of John Knox. He said one time he was contemplating the things of God, and he was so caught up with the wonders of the blessings of God and the cup of the blessing that overflowed to the Lord's people that he said, O Lord, hold thy hand, it is enough. Thy servant is a clay vessel and can hold no more. He felt that he was so flowing over with the blessings of God, and such was his happiness and joy, he said, stay your hand, I can hold no more. Old John Flavel tells us once that he was alone in his journey, and his thoughts, he said, began to swell and rise higher and higher up into the heavenlies. And he said that many years later, he could recall the blessings of heaven that came upon him. And he said that he understood more about the life of heaven and the abundance of Christ. And he said that he had life more abundantly. You know, the Lord says that he wants our joy to be full. That my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, do we have that full joy today? Are we rejoicing in our Savior? And if you have that blessing, then if the blessings flow out, if they're flowing over, what do we do with them? Pass them on to others. You know, we'll never be in any way made poorer, if we pass on the blessings, because the blessings to us just keep flowing and flowing and flowing, what we need is to pass them on. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Are you ready his service to do? We see the abundance, the plenitude of the shepherd. My cup runneth over. But then I want you to notice something else. Look at the peace of the shepherd. He speaks here about making the sheep sit down. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And of course, the table there speaks about sitting at the table, being at ease at the table. And he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, if you are sitting at a table in the presence of your enemies, it means that you're at peace. It means that peace has come. It indicates here a lasting peace. It indicates here that a victory has been won. And we think of David in his day. We think about the peace meals that there often were at the end of a war. And when there was a battle and when the victory was won, the two sides would sit down at a peace meal. After every victory, they're sat down at a table and they would make a covenant of peace between one another. And God is preparing a table before David, and he makes this covenant of peace with David and between David and his enemies. He's the great shepherd, you see. And we think of how we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One day we were at enmity against him. But now those that are saved in this meeting, we have a wonderful peace. The Bible says that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, this great shepherd, you know what he does for his sheep? He leads us to the high table lands. He has prepared the way before us. He has prepared so that we get there, and he prepares the way so that every good thing is provided for us. And thank God he makes us to sit down in the presence of our enemies. That's victory. That is victory. And you know, if we walk in the way of God and in the way of holiness and in the way of selflessness, then we will have that serene contentment and happiness that is given to us by the good shepherd of the sheep. And I hope that you know that good shepherd today. I hope that you know his peace in your heart. Has he made us to sit down in the presence of our enemies? Yes, he has, if we know him. And no matter what the world might do and the devil might do, and no matter what the enemies of the gospel may throw against us, the Lord makes us to sit down in the presence of those enemies. One day, I thank God, we will fully enter into the victory that he has wrought there on the center cross of Calvary. Do you know this great shepherd? Do you know my Savior? Are you on the right side? Are you on the victory side today? When the Lord makes us to sit down in the presence of the enemies, will you be on our side or are you on the enemy's side? Where will you be on that day? You come, if you don't know the Savior, you put your trust in the one whom to know is life eternal. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we do thank thee for thy power and blessing to us today. We thank thee for the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And our God, we thank thee that because of that, we have the victory. We are enabled one day to sit down in the presence of our enemies. We thank thee that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will flood our hearts and lives through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now, we pray. And we pray that each one of us might know that blessing and victory that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.